Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. This is Highland Radio News. It's 5 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the news desk. Coming up on this bulletin this evening, Simon Harris is the front runner to become the new Fine Gael leader, and Taoiseach, after two potential major rivals indicated they won't run today. Sinn Féin accuses Leo Varadkar of throwing in the towel and once again calls for a general election. The Taoiseach tells Piers Doherty in the Dáil today he doesn't believe the people share that view. Police in Strabane carry out a variety of checkpoints across the region, and it's claimed Irish attitudes toward drink driving are becoming more lax. Later in the bulletin, Mark Gallagher is here with sport. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the Fine Gael leadership battle and the race to see who will become the next Taoiseach. And battle perhaps is the wrong word, because it now seems Simon Harris is the clear front runner to become Fine Gael leader. He had two of his potential major rivals indicate this afternoon they will not be running. Social Protection Minister Heather Humphreys ruled herself out and endorsed Mr. Harris. The Public Expenditure Minister, Pascal Donoghue, said his focus is on being a government minister and being president of the Eurogroup, and he is not going to contest the party's leadership election. Earlier, Helen McEntee, the Justice Minister, ruled herself out, and yesterday the party's deputy leader, Simon Coveney, indicated he will not be putting his name forward at this point. Nominations opened this morning and will close on Monday. Mr. Varadkar's replacement is said to be revealed on April 5th. It could happen before that. Well, the outgoing Taoiseach today attended the European Council meeting in Brussels. That included a lunch with the head of the United Nations. When asked if abuse on social media was a factor in his decision, Mr. Varadkar said it wasn't something that played on his mind.
Toxicity is a term people like to use. That has increased. It's certainly amplified over the past 5-10 years, not just because of social media, by the way, also because of a lot of cynicism in mainstream media as well, which I think needs to be talked about too. But it wasn't a major factor for me. I have a thick skin.
Well, in the Dáil today, Sinn Féin accused Leo Varadkar of throwing in the towel in his decision to step down. Finance spokesperson and Donegal TD Piers Doherty told Taoiseach Micheál Martin that it's now time for an election.
We are now, since yesterday, in uncharted territories. We are set to have three Taoiseachs in a single government term. Two Taoiseachs from a party that came third in the general election. And yesterday, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar threw in the towel, acknowledging that he wasn't up for the job. But it is our view that none of you are up for the job.
Well, responding, Micheál Martin said the government is committed to seeing out its term, and hit back at Deputy Doherty for demanding an election, saying he doesn't believe the people share that view.
They don't want politicians endlessly speculating about elections. You've been calling for a general election since Sister Octa started. You want an election every year. I'm more focused on the bread and butter issues that matter to people.
Police in Strabane carried out a series of vehicle checkpoints, speed checks and proactive patrolling yesterday as part of a road safety operation. Officers conducted what they're terming high visibility checkpoints and patrols in a number of areas, including Sion Mills, Artigarvan, Lifford Bridge and the Newton Stewart Bypass. Over the course of the operation, four drivers were detected driving with excess speed. A number of fixed penalty notices were issued for offences, including use of mobile phones while driving and number plates displaying registration numbers incorrectly. Police also issued advice and guidance in respect of driving-related matters to 24 other drivers. Meanwhile, it's claimed Irish attitude toward drink driving are becoming more lax. Research from the Road Safety Authority shows 1 in 4 people think it's okay to drive short distances after drinking, while 10% admit to having done so in the previous 12 months. 175 people were arrested for driving under the influence in Ireland over the bank holiday weekend. The Road Safety Authority's David Martin says we've regressed in the way we think about it.
That's brought home to us that there seems to be a slackening in behaviour. I think 5-10 years ago, people, it was a no-no, it was absolute zero tolerance, and that seems to be slipping a little bit. And that's a societal thing as much as anything else, and it's something that we're very cognizant of and we have to address. We know that it remains a key factor in those deaths. So it's something that we're very, very hot on and we want to address.
The PSNI in Strabane and Derry say they've seized a large amount of suspected drugs with a total value in the tens of thousands of pounds. The fines span the month of March. With more, here's Nia Roberts.
This included a seizure on Monday of suspected Class B drugs with an estimated street value of £10,000. Three people were arrested and later released on bail. In a further search by Ballyarnock neighbourhood policing team, £5,000 in cash was seized, along with suspected drugs, which seen two people arrested, both of whom were released on bail to allow for further inquiries. Meanwhile, a search by the district support team on the evening of Wednesday, March 6th, resulted in officers seizing a number of suspected cannabis plants with an estimated street value of at least £60,000, as well as drug-related equipment inside a property following a report of suspicious activity at the address. Police ask the public for help when it comes to tackling the sale and use of illicit drugs and urge those with information in relation to drugs to come forward.
Focused leadership and more support at a domestic level is required to create a fairer environment in our coastal communities. That's according to a Midlands North West MEP. Chris McManus was in Donegal today visiting coastal communities and carrying out other engagements. He appeared on today's 9 till noon show and told Greg Hughes that, among other things, the common fisheries policy needs to be looked at and reassessed.
You know, focused leadership in this regards. In the first instance, what we need to see is a recalibration out in Europe of trying to ensure that there's fairness in all EU negotiations and that the CFP is re-looked at. Because like when we hear about, you know, that there's it's kind of secret discussions going on with a country like Iceland in regards to gaining access to waters in a country with significantly lower population than ourselves. But it has happened that we have seen the fishing community and coastal communities being thrown under the bus.
Yes.
Look at domestically what we've seen in the last year, where the budget from 2023 to 2024 has been effectively halved in regards to supports for fishing communities. And if you're not setting the tone at a domestic level, it's very hard then to go out to Europe and try and play a different game and articulate differently. So I think in the first instance, what we need to have is a dedicated ministry for fisheries. What we need to see is that the budget that was slashed there in the last 12 months is brought back up to where it was and better. And then if we can do that and set the tone of showing that it's a department and a government that wants to work with the processors and the producers, then what we can do is go out to Brussels with a unified team.
Chris McManus there speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. Don't forget the 9 till noon show in its entirety is podcast on our website, highlandradio.com. You can also look back on the 9 till noon show on our Facebook pages and our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. And you can then watch those interviews, the in-studio interviews and the Zoom interviews as well. The 100% Redress Party has announced its third candidate for the upcoming local elections in Donegal. Eamon Jackson will contest the Milford electoral area in June. He's the former chairperson of the MICA Action Group. Meanwhile, ANDHU has announced its third candidate in Donegal. Rebecca McDade will contest the election for the party in Lifford Stranorer. Donegal Sports Partnership has been allocated over €444,000 in core funding through Sport Ireland for this year. That's up 60% on last year's, up €60,000, excuse me, on last year's allocations. €7,000 has been allocated, meanwhile, under the Women in Sport programme. Two men have been detained in connection with a burglary in Derry last night. Police received a report at just before midnight of a road traffic collision on Gorton Muir Road. It involved a black Audi TT. The car was found in a ditch with a television and crowbar inside and without a driver or passengers. PSNI believe the Audi was stolen from an address in Victoria Gate where a burglary occurred. In a follow-up operation, a 23-year-old and a 32-year-old man were both arrested on suspicion of burglary and handling stolen goods. Police are asking that anyone with relevant information get in touch. There are calls on the HSE to provide urgent clarity after blood test charges at a health centre in Inishowen jumped 300%. It's emerged a man was charged €40 for a routine blood test at the centre. It would previously have cost €10. Councillor Albert Doherty says such cost increases are unsustainable.
I have a constituent who was able to share with me the awful shock that she received when her husband, who traditionally would have been charged at €10, blood test, was told that this now would be €40. And what's even more alarming is that when she went to inquire as to see if there was any mistake made in the quotation of 40, she received an adamant reply that no, 40 was a new charge. And that's an unsustainable charge. I don't know how or where this has emerged from, so I have a few matters that I intend to pursue with SEALTA, HSE and the Minister.
And do we know, is this right across the board, or can certain centres set this price themselves?
That's the issue that I need clarification on, because I would expect that there's a bit of independence in what can be set. However, if the laboratory testing prices and if transport is now hammering family or an individual who must now pay 40 euro where there was to be 10, then that's unsustainable. That needs support. And also, it's very alarming where this is an occasion where being a medical card holder does not facilitate or assist, and it's a matter that requires immediate attention. And I'd be very interested in the replies I receive from SEALTA, from the HSE, and of course from the Minister.
Councillor Albert Doherty, of course, who sits as a member of the HSE Health Forum West. State-induced employment support measures will increase payroll costs for the tourism sector by almost 500 million euro this year. A report carried out for the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation also highlights the fear that almost 20% will be added to the tourism and hospitality sector's total payroll costs by 2026. It says thousands of businesses that rely on tourism could close as a result. The author of the report, economist Jim Power, says many businesses were already struggling before these new measures were introduced.
If you look at the last couple of years, what has happened, you know, the input costs to tourism have increased dramatically, food prices, energy costs, and of course, labour costs. Then on the 1st of September, the government increased the VAT rate from 9 to 13.5%. The minimum wage was increased by 12.4%. Statutory sick pay changes were made. The PRSI rate is going up. There's a whole load of state-induced measures that are just going to make the operating environment considerably more challenging.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donald. We're going to start with soccer. Former Derry City assistant manager Alan Reynolds looks set to be in charge of Bohemians in time for the Dublin Derby against Shamrock Rovers next week. The Republic of Ireland under 21 assistant manager will replace Declan Devine, who left the club recently. In his last management job, Reynolds got Waterford promoted to the Premier Division and qualified for Europe the following season. Republic of Ireland centre-back Nathan Collins has praised the whole management team working with John O'Shea. The newly appointed interim manager has been preparing the team for the upcoming friendly matches against Belgium and Switzerland. O'Shea is being assisted by Paddy McCarthy, Glenn Whelan and goalkeeping coach Rene Gilmartin, as well as technical advisor Brian Kerr. Collins believes that the interim boss has assembled a really good coaching setup.
No, it's nice. John, I can't speak highly enough of him, you know, from what he'd done when he was from the 21s, even under Stephen Kenny. You know, he's been class with us. He's helped me a lot. So, yeah, it's an enjoyable experience working with him. It's not even just him, you know, he's brought in good lads as well. So they all seem to gel together. They all seem to want the same thing. And there's a good energy and atmosphere coming from them, which is nice to be working under.
This evening's European Championship playoff action is just underway in Tbilisi. Georgia boss Willy Sagnol is overseeing his side's game with Luxembourg. The former France fullback remains the bookies' favourite to take over from John O'Shea as the Republic of Ireland manager. Another contender, Gus Poyet, takes charge of Greece at home to Kazakhstan at 7:45. At the same time, Wales welcome Finland to Cardiff and will be hoping to take another step towards this summer's tournament in Germany. In the same section, Poland play Estonia. Closer to home, the FAI Schools Dr. Tony O'Neill Senior National Cup semi-final took place in Sligo today between St. Gerald's College Castlebar and Scullwara Buncrana. Buncrana came out on top by 4-2, with goals from Jay Bradley, Dara Coyle and a brace from Connor Graham sending the Donegal youngsters through to the All-Ireland final. In golf, Seamus Power is 2 under par with 3 holes remaining of his opening round at the Valspar Championship. Brendan Todd is the current leader there on 6 under par. Shane Lowry is 5 off the lead after an opening round in the Singapore Classic, having carded a 3 under 69. Tom McGibbon is 1 under, while there's a 3-way tie for the lead on 8 under. Leona Maguire is level par 7 holes into her first round at the Fir Hills Seri Pack Championship. There's currently a 5-way tie for the lead in Los Angeles on 3 under par. In boxing, rising Irish boxing star Paddy Donovan's next bout has been confirmed for the 25th of May in Leeds. The undefeated Limerick welterweight will face former British champion Lewis Ritson on the undercard of the hotly anticipated rematch between Josh Taylor and Jack Catterall. Donovan, who is trained by former Irish world champion Andy Lee, has managed 10 knockouts in his 13 wins. In rugby union, Ireland will open their Guinness Women's Six Nations campaign away to France on Saturday afternoon. 18-year-old Katie Corrigan will make her Ireland debut on the wing, while Sevens players Bevan Parsons and Eve Higgins will also start in Le Mans. In darts, the Premier League comes to Dublin's Three Arena tonight as teenage sensation Luke Littler plays Michael Smith, with world champion Luke Humphreys up against Peter Wright. In badminton, Royal and Pryor took home three Division 1 All-Ireland titles yesterday as their under-19 boys, under-14 boys and under-14 girls all claimed gold in what is a fantastic achievement for the Raphoe school. Finally, on the score this evening, we'll hear from Finn Harps' Kevin McHugh ahead of tomorrow night's clash with Kerry in the First Division. Plus, Kevin also gives us a rundown on how the underage teams are progressing in national competitions. While Paddy McDade, the head of women's development at Finn Harps, and Ulster amateur interprovincial manager Stephen McConnell are also on the programme. And Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald will look ahead to this weekend's hurling league final between Donegal and Tyrone. That's all part of the score later on Highland after the 7 p.m. news. Back to you, Donald.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, it's a Thursday, and that means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll have an update on the sheep sector with Donegal farmer Adrian Gallagher, who is the chair of the IFA's National Sheep Committee. But first, some 28,000 farmers could be exempt from CAP inspections and payment penalties under a new proposal from the European Commission. The Brussels plan to cut red tape around farmer schemes would see all farmers below 10 hectares exempt from CAP inspections and payment penalties. Analysis by the Irish Farmers Journal shows that the majority of farmers who would benefit from this move are beef and sheep farmers. Large numbers of farmers in counties like Donegal would be exempt from on-farm inspections, with as many as one in every four farmers in some western counties released from the CAP's inspection regime and the threat of scheme payment cuts. However, the Commission has warned that these farmers would still have to abide by cross-compliance rules. Well, there's a booming spring lamb trade in marts at the moment. A number of marts have recorded cull ewes prices hitting and exceeding €300 per head, in some cases for individual ewes. This is on top of a vibrant hogger trade where opening quotes are upwards of €8.50 a kilo and top prices heading for €9 a kilo. Hogget quotes are running in the region of €2 a kilo ahead of the corresponding period in 2023. And this equates to €46 higher on a typical 23-kilo carcass, while live prices are in many cases running upwards of €50 higher. So these are good times for sheep farmers. I've been speaking with Adrian Gallagher, the chair of the IFA's National Sheep Committee. Adrian, many thanks for joining us. It's been a while since we had you on the programme. And for the sheep sector, well, fair to say these are pretty good times. Demand for lamb at the moment is very much going in one direction only, and that's partly due to a particular series of events that are lining up.
Yeah, Chris, that's correct. We have a few things that are in our favour at the moment, and it's primarily down to the Ramadan festival, which fell from the 10th of March till the 8th of April. And we also do have Easter falling within the same time frame. So, and of course, we have Paddock's Day last weekend. So we had quite a few, we'll say, festivals, both Irish and worldwide, which affect the price of lamb significantly in Ireland, you know. So we have seen prices in Ireland which we haven't seen before. And, it's good to see for the lamb finishers coming off a very, very poor year last year. to be actually breaking even and making a better profit this year, which is definitely a good to see, and it'll inject some stability into the lamb store trade now and on the year ahead, you know, when things like this happen, you know. So yeah, no, it's a good time. It's a good time to be have some lambs, finished lambs ready for sale, you know. Prices are good at the merch.
And well, what's the expectation looking a little bit longer term? I mean, the prices will come back a bit, but for the rest of the year, would you be optimistic that they'll remain fairly good?
Yeah, I would. I certainly would, Chris, because I mean, numbers are tighter than anticipated. We did Board B were estimating that there was an overcarry of maybe 75,000 lambs into the year, but I mean, figures would suggest that them lambs aren't there, or certainly haven't come out. So I would say numbers will be tight, which will obviously, when demand is there, numbers are tight, the prices remain steady, or right through until the heavier supplier lamb comes in. So yeah, I can see lamb pretty good right up till, let's say, June or maybe early July, you know, before we get any major significant volume of lambs coming in then, you know.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this time of year, of course, lambing season. What's the situation here in Donegal?
Yeah, that's correct, Chris. Actually, I mean, the bulk of the sheep farmers will be commencing their lambing scheme now. From usually most farmers hit when the grass becomes available. So from now on, paddocks stay on for the next 6 weeks. And even in Ireland, you will see 2.5 million lambs born. So, yeah, it'll be a busy time from now on for the majority of sheep farmers, including myself.
Yeah. Now, also, it can be a worrying time. The IFA has had a high-profile No Dogs Allowed campaign, and sadly, you know, we see incidents happening all over the country. In terms of this campaign, there's been a little bit of movement in terms of legislation. Looks like things are beginning to go in the right direction from a little bit of enforcement.
Yeah, it has. It certainly has. I mean, we've been launching this No Dogs Allowed campaign now since 2021, and the government are taking heed and are introducing some changes to some legislation. There was an on-the-spot fine if you had your dog out of control or hadn't got full control of your dog. That there's an on-the-spot fine there now, €300, that Minister Heather Humphrey has taken on last October. She's also set up a working group, which are due to meet now next week. And it's not just, we'll say, it's the full aspect of dog control around, we'll say, what dogs maybe need to be muzzled at all times, because we have had incidents where dogs have hurt children as well, like, or even adults, like, you know. So there's going to be some changes right across the board from this working group. I suppose, and obviously now this time of year as well, we have a lot of lambs being born, as I say, and going out to fields, and it is important that say anybody that is going into an area where there will be livestock, to ensure that they don't bring their dog with them, and if they do, it'll be on a leash, or they would try and avoid that area, you know. So yeah, it's important to get the message out there that anybody that is going for walks either hills or in areas where close to farmyards, that they do adhere to the No Dog Allowed policy that the IFA launch every year. Yeah.
Now, you are the IFA's chair for the National Sheep Committee. I think your last meeting was the end of February. It's probably one of the most important committees within the IFA, given the number of sheep farmers that there are.
Yeah, look, it's a busy time for the sheep committee. I mean, our main topic now would be the budget submission, you know.
And just while we have you on, wool prices, any movement there? I mean, there has been the establishment of the Wool Council, but things have moved relatively slowly.
Yeah, there is a establishment of the Wool Council. It's Irish grown wool, and look, they're making changes. They're getting wool out into high profile candidates at the moment. I mean, you might have seen a few things done over Paddy's Weekend there, where we had people wearing, we'll say, wool scarves that were 100% Irish wool, like, you know. So they're getting the message out. It's primarily going to be the wool that's produced there would be from the Gobby breed, and whereas the majority of wool in Ireland would be more of a coarser wool, and its use wouldn't sustain or wouldn't be good down to a wool product, you know. So
Look, from terms of, we'll say, monetary into the farmer's point of view, I can't see any significant changes in the short term for that.
And finally, Adrian, just your overall feeling for the sheep sector for the year ahead would be one of cautious optimism?
Yeah, I can see prices fairly, we'll say, certainly on par with last year and maybe even above last year, right through till we'll say the end of June into July, you know, until we'll say the bulk of lambs comes out. So depending on then on the summer we have, depending on the lamb crop and then depending on markets then from the back end on, you know. But yeah, I certainly see very optimistic for the sheep sector now right through till late summer, you know. So yeah, positive news for the sheep sector.
And that was Adrian Gallagher, the chair of the IFA's National Sheep Committee. In other news, Chagas has warned of a potential potato shortage later on in the year as growers battle to get spuds in the ground due to the dismal weather this spring. According to John Pettit, tillage business and technology advisor with Chagas, planting is way back on normal this year. And finally, the Central Applications Office has revealed a 21% decline in the number of students selecting agriculture as their first preference choice. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much, Andy. Chris Moore from Chris on Thursday next at around 20 past five. Well, the forecast cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle this evening, with drier, brighter conditions moving into the northwest later. Clear spells developing overnight. Some showers then moving in from the Atlantic later. Lowest overnight temperatures 3 to 7 with a moderate to fresh westerly wind. Tomorrow windy with sunny spells and scattered showers. Some of the showers heavy with a chance of hail and thunder. Top temperatures 7 to 9 degrees Celsius in a moderate to fresh and gusty westerly wind. Stronger in coastal areas. The main stories in brief. Simon Harris is now the front runner to become the new Fine Gael leader and Taoiseach after two potential major rivals indicated they won't run. The Social Protection Minister Heather Humphreys and Public Expenditure Minister Pascal Donoghue have both ruled themselves out. Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty told the Dáil this afternoon there should be a general election. However, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin hit back saying he doesn't believe the people share the Sinn Féin appetite for an election. He accused Deputy Doherty of calling for elections every year. It's claimed Irish attitudes toward drink driving are becoming more lax. Research from the RSA shows one in four people believe it's okay to drive short distances after drinking, while 10% admit to having done so in the previous 12 months. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news headlines again at 6. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 21st of March. The death has occurred of Elizabeth Liz McGarrigle, née Burns, 15 Marion Villas, Donegal Town, formerly of Milltown, Buncrana. Reposing at her son Daniel's residence in Drumlanagher, Donegal Town, from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 11 in St Mary's Church, Killymard, followed by burial in St Agatha's Cemetery, Clare. The death has taken place of Brian Evans, Fi Corena Letterkenny, formerly of Birmingham, England. Brian's remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, tomorrow from 6 p.m. until 7:30. Private cremation will take place later. The death has taken place of William Quigley, Gortani, Quigley's Point. William's remains will leave Liam Cullen's funeral premises, Carndonna, at 7 o'clock this evening. House private pleas to relatives, close friends and neighbours with family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Removal private to family only, please. Funeral Mass will take place on Saturday at 2 in St Columbus Church, Drung, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on stcolumbusdrung.net. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Thomas Doherty, Lower Cabri, Quigley's Point. Thomas's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Columbus Church, Drung, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on stcolumbusdrung.net. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to iCare, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. The death has taken place in Cornwall, England, of Eddie McLaughlin Jr., Turner, formerly of Ferris Lane, Buncrana, and Gortyarrigan, Linsford. Eddie's remains are reposing at his parents' home in Gortyarrigan. Funeral from there at 10:15 on Saturday morning, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust and Donegal Hospice. The death has occurred of Jim McDade, 3 St Columbus Avenue, Buncrana, reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday at 1 o'clock, going to St Mary's Oratory, Buncrana, for Requiem Mass at 1:30, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery, Cock Hill. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Buncrana Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place in Staffordshire, England, of Barry Devine, Carrignamana, Killigordon, reposing at his home in Carrignamana, Killigordon, tomorrow from 6 to 10. House private, please, to immediate family and neighbours only. Burial Mass will be celebrated on Saturday at 10 in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Castle Finn. The Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Maura Shields, Glen, Carrigart. Remains en route to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11, with cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at 4 o'clock on Saturday. The death has occurred of Gerard Coyle, Bohillion, Burt, reposing at his home. Funeral on Saturday morning, leaving his home at 10:15, going to St Angus's Church, Burt, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10pm to 10am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Medical 3 Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred in Naas, County Kildare, of Mary Hemmings, Crawley. Her remains are reposing at Midlands Funeral Home with rosary at 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with removal afterwards for interment in Scotland on Saturday. The death has taken place of Terence Johnson, 35 Schlieffnacht Road, Letterkenny. Terence's remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, this evening from 6pm to 8pm. Private cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium in Cavan tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Stephanie Hearn, Ballybose, Falcarra, formerly of Mooncoyne, County Kilkenny. Stephanie's remains are reposing at Powers Funeral Home, County Waterford, with viewing this evening from 6 to 8. Funeral procession leaving the family home at 10:30 tomorrow, going to Mooncoyne Chapel for funeral mass at 11, with a celebration of life to follow. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. And the death has occurred of Tony Dooley, Glenties, Donegal, formerly of Rossburchan, Tullaher, County Kilkenny, and Raheny, Dublin. Tony's remains are reposing at his late residence, with family, neighbours and close friends welcome until 9. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Connell's Church, Glenties, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.